The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Off the Record with Chicago Line is sponsored by Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Line, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust you are doing well. I mean, I really mean that. I hope things are well physically, mentally, socially, financially, however goodly you could get it. I really hope you're doing well. So glad you could join us here today. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are pretty much the same as always, 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, that's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. My. Listen to me. Today, I want to take you through something that I hope will just be a world of learning for you, for all of us, world of learning. And you have to listen carefully, right? You really do, to try and make sure you catch up with this learning and this understanding. Because it's really interesting. I mean, it's interesting to me. I hope it's interesting to you, but we'll see. And I know there's so much going on in the Bahamas, you know, there's this murder, you know, that's taken place. There's the, Junkanoo that just passed. And so I'm saying good and bad things are happening. There's good positive talk about construction and lots of stuff going on. But this is really interesting to me. You may not have seen it, but the Nassau Guardian, so it carried it, and then Tribune also carried this story. So the leader of the opposition, Mr. Michael Pintard, member of parliament for Marco City, said that the government and the central bank may not have had a legal basis for carrying out a loan that was advanced to the government by the central bank using SDRs, or special drawing rights of the IMF, as the basis for advancing the loan. He says it may not have had a legal basis for doing so. The governor of the central bank conceded. The governor of the central bank conceded that they may have placed, that's John Roll, that they and the government, that the government and the central bank may have put the cart before the horse in that they permitted the government to do these drawdowns against these SDRs prior to the government following through on an agreement in a memorandum of understanding to amend the law, the Central Bank Act, that is, to allow this to happen legally. The governor said the central bank worked closely with the government in concluding these arrangements to access SDRs. The governor told the newspaper via an email reply, under the MOU, there is an undertaking by the government to amend the Central Bank Act to cover the use of the 2021 allocations. Listen to me. There is so much public policy considerations in all of this that I'm going to try and get through it today. If you have a question, please, please. At any point, if you have a question, please put your question to me so that I don't lose you, so that we can have a productive conversation. And so let me start with this. I want to read something for you. Okay? The Central Bank of the Bahamas, remember when we had that compendium of legislation in 2000 where we were changing up all the financial laws, et cetera? At that time, we wrote, the Ingram administration, we wrote a new Central Bank Act. Right, that was in 2000. Subsequent to that, the Central Bank Act was revamped in 2020. So it was rewritten again in 2020. In Article 21 of the Central Bank Act, it's entitled Advances to the Government. So the government of the Bahamas can get money by way of borrowings from the market. It can get money by way of overdraft facility, and its overdraft facility is governed. So first of all, it can only borrow money with the consent of the central bank, of the parliament, okay? The government can only borrow money with the consent of the parliament. So that's why you have what is called a borrowing resolution. The government goes to parliament, says to parliament, I need to borrow $500 million. Lays a resolution before parliament. The resolution is debated. Parliament takes a vote of that resolution. If the parliament affirms the resolution, then the government has approval from parliament to go borrow money. There is no authority of the Minister of Finance to borrow money in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, saving and except that the parliament approves it. No way. So when you hear members of parliament say, oh, I didn't know about it. If you were a member of parliament and the money was borrowed in your tenure, the only way you don't know about it is if you missed those days and didn't bother to find out what happened because you had to vote on the borrowing resolution. So the government could borrow money. The government can also get an overdraft, right, facility with its banks, right? And that's typically what happens. Now, that overdraft has to be a certain percentage of the average revenue over a period of time over, say, 3 years or so, based on the government's accounting of its revenue over that period of time. So if the government's revenue was $1 billion each year for 3 years, the average was $1 billion, then it can get, say, 25% as an overdraft of that, which would be $250 million. So that's the cap on the overdraft. And so that's why you see the government has to get those Auditor General's reports submitted, because those reports are supposed to reflect the accounting measures and be used as a basis for making that calculation at some point, right? So you can get an overdraft, but that overdraft is capped. And then it can get advances from the central bank. These are short-term advances it can get from the central bank, and that too is capped at a certain percentage of the government's revenue over average revenue over a period of time. And the central bank can't do more than that, and there are stipulations attached to when the central bank does that. So the Central Bank Act, as it now reads, Article 21, advances to the government, here is what it says. Subject to the provisions of this act, the bank shall not make any direct or indirect advances to the government or to any public corporation. You think, well, okay, that means the government, it can't provide any advances at all to the government. Well, hold on, hold your seat. Subsection 2 says, subsection 1 does not apply to intraday credits, which shall be guaranteed by negotiable government securities. Okay, so this, you know, this is a really, really short-term set of financial transactions that the central bank may provide some advances for. So despite what subsection 1 says. Then it goes on to talk about what those intraday credit extended supposed to look like. So that's not important. Listen to subsection 4. Notwithstanding subsection 1 and 3, the bank may provide temporary loans to the government where? So the bank can't just advance the government any money. No way. You can't just advance the government any money. But the bank can provide temporary loans to the government where, one, A, the amount of the loans, which may be outstanding at any one time. So you got to think about what loans it got from the bank before, and you got to add the new request for loan. When you take all of these loans together with any treasury bills or securities issued or guaranteed by the government or a public corporation, shall not exceed in the aggregate, 30% of the average ordinary revenue of the government or 30% of the estimated ordinary revenue of the government, whichever is less. So there's a cap on how much the central bank can lend to the government. It can't advance it, meaning you can't just grant the government monies from the central bank. You can lend under the provision to the government. So that's the first thing. There's a ceiling on how much can be lent, and that has to be calculated based on the formula that's provided in subsection A. B, the loan will mature within 91 days. So it's saying the government has to pay the loan back in 91 days. If it's $200 million, $300 million, according to this, the loan has to be paid back in 91 days. That's 3 months. And C, the interest rate on the loan is based on market-related interest rates. So this is not a concessionary loan from the central bank. This is a market-based rate loan from the central bank. So that those are the terms and conditions under which the central bank can lend monies to the government. Okay, so how did we get to this place where Mr. Pintard is saying that the government and the central bank may not have had a legal basis for what the government was able to do with the central bank of late? Okay. Ah, boy. Yeah. Okay, so you will recall that in 2020, this was before the government changed, the IMF, in the middle of the pandemic, agreed to lend to the Bahamas some monies for the first time. It was all about $200+ million. Y'all remember that? For the first time. We all talked about it. Never in the history of the Bahamas has the Bahamas ever accessed any monies from the IMF. And we were trying, we had to say to people, no, this is not an IMF program. This is not that kind of program. This is a special facility created in the pandemic. And yes, the Bahamas is taking advantage of it, but it's not an IMF program. But y'all remember that. When the Bahamas accessed that facility from the IMF, it used its SDRs as collateral, right? Now, here's where I want to stop and provide some information. So what's an SDR? An SDR is a special drawing right created by the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, in 1969. It's very important for us to understand something, because my own observation is that when many Bahamians have heard things like IMF, UN, IDB, and others, WTO, that we have tended to look at these organizations as some independent entity that just swoops into your country and tells you what to do. And that is simply not a correct way to look at them. So the IMF, like all the institutions that were created after World War II, the World Bank, GATT and those, these are, and remember, please remember these words, these are international clubs of countries. They're clubs. These are associations of countries. So the countries have these clubs, these organizations, as their associations. That's what they are. Who formed these organizations? The countries formed them. The ones, the more developed ones in the first instance, and then over time, the others joined. But these are owned by, belong to the countries that are members of these organizations. Who funds these organizations? So where does the IMF get its monies from? It gets its monies from subscriptions that member countries make when they join the IMF. And the bigger you are as an economy and as a country and an importance in the world, the more your subscription. So countries like the United States, Japan, Germany, China, and them, they got big subscriptions. And they put big monies into the IMF. Smaller countries like the Bahamas, where we put our couple dollars in, you know, but we got to put some monies in too. But these are member organizations. So who has the ultimate power in these organizations? These organizations, the IMF, they have what is called a board of governors. Board of governors. Okay? So the board is the ultimate authority of the IMF. Do you know who is the Bahamas' governor on that board? Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis, who's the Minister of Finance. Every Minister of Finance becomes the governor on that board and under the central bank governor becomes the deputy. Now, it used to be, when I was there, it used to be that the governor of the central bank was the governor on that board. And then the Minister of Finance is the deputy. But, you know, the last set of information I saw, it seems to have changed that. In any event, it's your Minister of Finance and your governor of the central bank who are the members on that board. So when a vote is taken, who takes the vote? Them and every other Minister of Finance and central bank governor to decide what the IMF does or does not do. Shall the IMF give a IMF program or loan to Jamaica or Barbados? We'll take a vote. Who takes that vote? The Bahamas and all the other countries go and vote on it. There is no group of independent people out there just dictating what happens. These are member-driven organizations. Just remember that. Member-driven organization. Okay? We're going to take our first break, and then when we come back, we'll continue. This we're going to continue. We got a lot to run through. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Rolang, your host.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Girl, girl. You see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them, and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Walang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking about this loan facility the government access through the central bank that is supposed to be related to special drawing rights from the IMF. That's the best way I could say it. Okay, so you understand what the IMF and the IMF's responsibility, that the what the countries of the world have charged the IMF to do on their behalf is to maintain stability and integrity and in the international financial system, to ensure that the currencies have stability, to ensure that the countries don't infect the financial system by destabilized fiscal and monetary policies and that kind of stuff. And so that's why it gives advice and guidance, and it stands as the bank of last resort for countries when they get into problems. And so what the IMF did in 1969 was to say, listen, a country could run into problems with its international reserves. Why is international reserves important? Well, if you are not making
everything you use in a country. You're not making the cars, you're not making the boats, you're not making the furniture, you're not making the televisions, you're not making the foods, et cetera, and all of that. If you're not making all of that, you have to buy what you don't make from the rest of the world. Well, in order for you to buy what you make from the rest of the world, you have to have the ability to pay the rest of the world in its currency or a currency it's willing to accept. In this case, in most instances, US currency. In some instances, it may be euro. But you have to have euros or US dollars available. That's what the central bank stores up in the form of international reserves or foreign reserves. Those are currencies and US and yen and others that it has built up so that when a Bahamian business goes and says, I need $200,000 in US dollars, the central bank and the banks can say, yes, I can give you $200,000 in US dollars. So you could go and do what you need to do. And so they give you a $200,000 Bahamian and get back $200,000 US, less whatever transaction fee may be attached to it. But if you were not able to do that, if you are not able to secure these foreign currencies, your dollar won't be worth squat, and you will not be able to buy anything from the rest of the world that you need, right? And so the IMF says countries can run into these foreign reserve issues, international reserve issues, and we need to have a means to help support their international reserves when that happens. How can we do that? So they created something called SDRs, special drawing rights. It's not money. It's not a currency. It's not a fiat currency issued by any country. This was essentially a book accounting instrument, an asset created by the International Monetary Fund. And it only is an asset because it can be traded for real usable currency. It's like a digital token created from out of thin air, except it's backed by the world's five strongest economies' currencies, being the US dollar, the euro, the renminbi, or the Chinese yuan, the Japanese yen, and the British pound. Those five currencies. And so the value of a special drawing rights, the value of it is determined on a daily basis based on the values of those collective values of those currencies by some formulation they use. Right? And so they can be traded by countries. Now, here's what happens. The member countries of the IMF receive some of these SDRs by what is called a general allocation. From time to time, the members of the IMF, the countries, including the Bahamas, take a vote on a distribution, a general distribution of special drawing rights. And if 85% or more of the members of the board of governors of the IMF vote in favor of that general allocation, then depending, they agree an amount to be distributed, and each country gets a portion of that amount that is in line with their relative size and importance in the economy. So as an example, the Bahamas had about 200 million SDRs, okay? The United States of America has 82, almost 83 billion SDRs. United Kingdom, 20 billion SDRs, right? China
has approximately 31 billion SDRs. So that gives you a sense of how these things work depending on your size and relative importance in the economy, right? So the Bahamas got an allocation of that prior to 2021. That was around 200 million SDRs, which would have been worth about $160, $70 million or thereabouts. In total, the IMF has issued, allocated about 661 million SDRs. And that's valued at about $36 billion, US dollars. Okay, $936 billion. That's not even a lot in the context of the world economy, which is in the trillions and trillions of dollars. Okay, so these monies are big monies for me and you, but in terms of the relative size of the economies of the world and the economy of the world, pittance. And so over about four periods, the IMF has been doing these general allocations. The last and the largest single one was in August of 2021. That's in the height of the pandemic, where they did a general allocation of 456.5 billion SDRs relative to the pandemic to help support the foreign reserves, the international reserves of countries. And so of that amount, the Bahamas got around about $250 million. Hence, $250 million worth of reserves. So what happens is, when this allocation is made, remember now, what is the allocation that's made? SDRs. It ain't money. It ain't US dollars. It's not yen. It's not yuan. It's not pounds. It is an accounting entry on the books of the SDR saying the Bahamas will have access to these SDRs in the event it wants to do something with them. And I'm going to talk to you about what it can do with them when I'm done. So it creates this book accounting, and it goes to the credit of the foreign reserves of the Bahamas through the Central Bank of the Bahamas. Bam, slam, 200 plus million SDRs. Bahamas is smiling. Money looks like money, right? So after that August 2021 allocation, remember now, this is different and separate from the loan that the government got in 2020 using its then existing SDRs as collateral. That was a direct loan from the IMF. Had nothing to do with the central bank. Nobody talked about the central bank. This was the IMF made available this facility to governments of the world. The Bahamas was one of them, went and said, yes, we'll take advantage of it. We'll use our SDRs existing as collateral for that. And that loan now is on the books of the Bahamas, being facilitated, being executed, and being serviced by the Bahamas. That's that one. That has nothing to do with this 2021 general allocation of SDRs, which is now booked at the central bank as a part of its reserves. So how did the government get in problems, according to Mr. Michael Pintad, on this one? Well, when we come back from the break, we'll tell you. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody.
Girl,
You see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So the question was, how did we come to a situation in which the leader of the opposition is saying that the government and the central bank did something that may have lacked a legal basis? Well, given that this new set of special drawing rights to boost the Bahamas' foreign reserves was granted, almost to the tune of $250 million, the value of it. Remember now, the reserves ain't money. The SDRs aren't money. The SDRs are money's worth. And like you can get money, but it isn't money itself. And this is very important to understanding some of the challenges of this. SDRs are not money. It is an accounting by the IMF that says in the event that you need X amount, then you can draw on this amount, and there is a way that happens. So the government figures, wow, there's this couple of $250 million boost to the reserves. Things are tight. We need some money. We're going to go to the central bank and try and access this money. There are discussions with the central bank. Now here's what is real. The central bank and the government concluded under Article 21 of the Central Bank Act, I can not advance you any money. And I can only lend you money.
and I can only lend you money at market rates over a period of 91 days. So if you're going to get this money from me, the only way for us to legally facilitate that is for you to amend the law for me to do so. But they sign a memorandum of understanding, the government and the central bank, because the government and the central bank is not the same. The central bank is an independent entity. It can act without reference to the government. It consults with the government. It talks to the government. But it doesn't need the government's permission to do things, and the government cannot direct it to do things. So they sign a memorandum of understanding saying, yes, we're going to set up this facility for you to be able to access these monies by loan. And you promise to amend Section 21 of the Act in order to make this legal. Okay, fine. If that's the memorandum of understanding, fine. But then, according to a report by the Central Bank of its quarterly financial activities or monthly financial activities, it says, indicates that the government has been drawing down on this money. Well, how do you draw down on monies loaned to you from the central bank contrary to the laws that govern the central bank that says you cannot get monies except under certain conditions? How do you do that? You say, well, I have a memorandum of understanding where the government said it's going to amend the law, but it hasn't amended the law, though. How do you do that? So the central bank really, in effect, let the cat out of the bag in its statement. And I don't say cat out of the bag because it was being transparent about what was going on. And so this was picked up by the leader of the opposition. And he cried foul. How do you borrow money from the central bank that is not being loaned for 91 days, not being loaned at the prevailing market interest rates, that do not represent any emergency circumstance in which you are, because you yourself have conceded your revenues are performing well, your reserves are doing extremely well, and the economy is recovering strongly? What is the emergency circumstance that could warrant your getting a loan from the central bank? And to his credit, the governor said, no, yeah, this happened, and we put the cart before the horse, it would seem, and the governor promised to amend the act. Now, this raises many questions. Many, many questions. Some important questions it raises. Some very fundamentally important questions. But it also creates some opportunities to understand something. See, first of all, tying this money that the government was getting to SDRs, to me, is not sensible. That's not sensible at all. Outside of the fact that the central banks, the international reserves of the country was boosted by this general allocation by the IMF. Besides that, there was no new monies that came into the hands of the central bank to be onward lent to the government, saving and except the bank says to me that, yes, we went to the IMF, to a member country, and we traded, because this is the way you could use SDRs. You can go to a member country like the United States and say, listen, I have 250 million SDRs. I'd like to trade 150 million of that to you so that you can give me the equivalent in US dollars for that, which might be about 100 plus million dollars. I'd like you to do that for me. And if that country agrees, they take hold of your SDR, so their SDR allocations go up, and you get interest. You get interest payments on your SDR holdings, by the way, right? The countries get an interest payment from on their SDR holdings. And the Bahamas would get the US dollar amount. And you pay an interest on the SDRs that you have on the funds you get because you traded an SDR. Generally speaking, if you are holding the SDRs and you're not trading it, you get paid as much interest rates as you pay out. And so the net result is zero for holding the SDR in the first place. But that's one way you can get monies. Did the central bank go to any country and say, we want to trade SDRs with you? The second way you can get money is you go to the central bank itself, to the IMF itself. You go to the IMF itself and say, you know what? I want $150 million, $200 million US for my SDR holdings. And then you can then get a loan from the IMF in exchange for those SDRs, and you pay your loan payments on a very low interest rate basis. You can do that. Did the Central Bank of the Bahamas do that with the SDRs? We don't know. That's not said, right? That's the way you can get money. So just because you get an SDR allocation doesn't mean you get cash in hand. But the government began to draw down on this loan. So that means the government was, if the new SDRs weren't being used for any purpose, then that means that all the central bank did was give the government money out of its own cash reserves. And the reality is the law, as it now is written, does not permit that. And Michael Pintard is right. The law does not permit that. The central bank concedes that, and the financial secretary concedes that. And they both concede that the law has to be changed to make it happen. Hence the questions that arise on the basis of that happening. And we'll get to that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And we're going to look at this issue some more. We'll be back after the news break.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
It's Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking about the allegation by the leader of the opposition that the central bank and the government may not have had a legal basis for a borrowing that was extended to the government using the SDR facility as a basis. Now, we're going to talk in a lot more things about the some of this language, but let's
let's see some questions that get raised. So I want you to listen to, this is an article out of the Tribune, says, Mr. Wilson, Simon Wilson, yesterday confirmed that following the MOU signing with the central bank, the government had begun to draw down on the $233 million SDR facility, which is effectively being treated as a loan against foreign currency reserves that must be repaid. The government began to draw down on the $233 million SDR facility, which is effectively being treated as a loan against the foreign currency reserves that must be repaid. That is not Mr. Wilson's language. That's the language of the writer of this story. And I query their understanding of things based on that language. I really do. The text says, he added that it will be drawn down in stages as the need arises, and the funds will not be employed to meet the government's domestic obligations. Okay? Neil Hartnell is reporting in the Tribune, said the government pledges law change over its $232 million borrowing. The government has promised to change the law to facilitate its use of $233 million in IMF fund special drawing rights. This is again a writing by the writer about this that I do not believe is a correct representation of things. It says, this is not a quote from the governor, this is a quote from the writer, that the law to facilitate its use of $233 million in international monetary fund special drawing rights. There's no such thing, right? Okay. So John Rowe, the central bank's governor, yesterday revealed that to the memorandum of understanding between the monetary policy regulator and Ministry of Finance stipulates that the Davis administration must change the act, the Central Bank Act, to facilitate the transaction. Okay, so you have a concession that what was done, you have a concession by the financial secretary that the funds were being drawn down. You have a concession by the governor of the central bank that the law had to be changed in order to provide a legal basis for this to happen. So the question is, how come it happened? How is it possible? Okay. So on a generous rendering of it, it's the government, it's the central bank. They don't direct each other, but they cooperate in the state to ensure things can facilitate smoothly. The government says, I need some cash. I need to have this cash available to me. And I'd like to, since you've got a boost in your foreign reserves, to be able to use that amount of boost to do it. It ain't cash. SDRs are not money. SDRs are IMF book credit to your reserves that you can use to access money, real money, in a number of ways. That's what it is. But it ain't real money. Ain't no an SDR is not a transfer of cash. It's not a transfer of currency. It is a book accounting, an approval by the Board of Governors that says, okay, let's give everybody some SDR, some special drawing rights, so that in the event they need it, they can trade those for real money with member countries or come to the bank, the IMF, and get money from it against that. That's what it is. So unless the central bank used any of those means to get cash, it's really advancing to the government cash in its own holdings. It's not advancing SDRs. You cannot spend, an SDR can't buy you a peppermint. You hear me? An SDR cannot buy you a peppermint. If you want to buy a peppermint with an SDR, you have to go to a member country and say, listen, can I trade you one of my SDRs? Because one of them is probably worth about 70 cents now. And you give me 70 cents, and then I'll take your 70 cents you gave me, and I'll buy my peppermint. But if you went and tried to go to any country, any store, and say, yeah, I have an SDR, please give me some books, some food for that, you would get chased right out of town. Because SDRs can't buy peppermint.
You have to trade it for cash in order to have cash. Okay? So the question then is, how does the bank advance to the government monies by way of loan outside of the terms of its law? How does it do it? Well, from a generous understanding, okay, I expect you to pass the law, to amend the law. I'm going to do this. And then when you amend the law, it'll catch up with what you and I did. We're good. But is that the way things should operate? Now, if you make a mistake and you do a transaction and find out after the fact that, you know what, we didn't do this the right way, and therefore let's pass a law to make it right. Because lawyers, parliament does that from time to time. You can pass laws and make them retroactive to cover an activity so the activity is not illegal in perpetuity. You can do that. It's been done by all the administrations from time to time to correct things that may have been done. But in advance, see if you sign them, if the bank and the government signed the memorandum of understanding and says, okay, I'll do this if you do that, I can understand that. That's not, got no problem with it. But if I sign a memorandum of understanding with you that you need to fix a law in order to let me do something with you that's to be legal, and I let you do it anyway, isn't that illegal? I mean, I'm just asking. Okay, we have some questions here. It says, I'm just catching up. Please explain what an SDR, what is an SDR? I understand you said it can be used for cash, but I'm a bit lost. Well, I hope you caught up just now, because that's a long explanation. It can be used to get cash, not be used for cash. It can be used to get cash. As I said, you can't take an SDR and buy a peppermint with it. It's not issued by any government. It's issued by the IMF, and the only people who hold SDRs, the only people, are countries that are members of the IMF, the IMF itself, and what they call prescribed holders, what might be a regional bank, a development bank, or something like that. Those are only, so there's no human being on the planet carrying an SDR in their pocket or holding an SDR in their account. This is a bank, this is like an IMF, a digital token backed by reserve currencies. Okay. This text says, Is it legal to facilitate this loan based on a memorandum of understanding alone? Was there a time frame for the law to be amended? No, it's not. It's not legal. You can't, a memorandum cannot make legal something a law makes illegal. Me and you're agreeing to something in anticipation of fixing the law to make what we're going to do legal does not make doing what we do at the time legal if the law wasn't fixed to make it legal. So no, a memorandum does not make legal that which the law makes illegal. So in point of fact, I believe that the leader of the opposition is correct. The governor of the central bank concedes it. The law must be amended in order to make what was done legal. And so I suspect that you should see them come to parliament, fix this so that can be made legal. But I mean, at the end of the day, anybody going to jail, anybody getting arrested for it, it's just a breach of the law, which is not good for your credit. Not good for the confidence that people may have in your willingness to do only that which is within the law. Because then people can point to this and say, well, but look what you did, look what you did that time. Right? This text says SDR is really how much credit is available to a government. No. It's not credit, you're not credit, pure credit. It's It's really how much the IMF can provide to help support your international reserves, period. That's really what it is. So you have that amount of international reserves that you may be able to draw on when required. Now you can borrow against that, but it's not about credit. It's not purely about credit. Okay, it's about a way to help you maintain liquidity in your reserves when you have to. That's the important thing. Say, hi, Mr. Lang. Now you see why foreign entities believe the Bahamas is corrupt. Why would the central bank even let the government withdraw money with the law not being changed to do so? Some things never change. How can anyone defend the government and the country when these abusive laws and powers exist? Okay. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang. Just for clarification, if the central bank is autonomous of the government, then how is the government able to draw down on SDR? Wouldn't the act drawing down require compliance? In other words, is the central bank complicit if the loan is illegal? Yes. The government cannot draw down on funds from the central bank that the central bank does not give the government access to. There's no way. I mean, it isn't like the government could just go to the central bank account and go draw down. That's not how it works. When they say draw down, it means the government says to the central bank, I'd like to have $33 million now. And the central bank says, okay, I'll give you $33 million. So yes, if it was illegal, what was done, then the central bank would have had to be complicit in that illegality. Now, if it wasn't illegal, then it wasn't illegal. But the central bank had to been a cooperative entity in the process. Okay, again, this does not rise to the level of corruption. It does not to this extent. The central bank wasn't trying to hide this. Nobody was trying to hide this. A memorandum of understanding was signed. The central bank was the one that provided the information about the fact that the government was doing this and so forth. So, and it even provided an explanation for it. Now, what it is, though, is highly, highly odd. And really can call into question whether or not there was an abuse of sort of, anyway. This text says, but what was done was already illegal, but we are going to cover after the fact and there will be no repercussions. Where did central bank get the money from? First of all, let me tell you this, right? Let me make it very clear. It is possible for a law to be broken and for Parliament to pass a law that reaches back in time. It's called retroactivity and correct the breach. It happens all the time. Let me say this to you again. When you hear the words, the law was passed retroactively, it means that the law was given power to reach back in time and make that which was illegal at the time legal. That's what it means. So yes, it is possible, and it has happened before. The Christie administration did an arrangement and allowed a tax concession for Old Bahama Bay that was not covered by the law. And they went back into Parliament and they passed a law to fix it. The Constitution says Parliament can pass any law. I want you to know your parliament is sovereign. Parliament can pass any law, saving a law that contradicts the Constitution. Do you hear me? When you are sending these members of Parliament to the House of Assembly, you are sending them to a very powerful chamber. Parliament can pass any law, saving a law that contradicts the Constitution. So if the Parliament wants to pass a law to make that which was illegal legal back in 1972, Parliament can do that. Can do it.
There was no time frame for the amendment to take place. There was not one stipulated, no. Says, but yeah, there was not no time frame. His text says, good morning. I don't know what in the world that is. Okay. Okay, this text says, season's greetings, Mr. Line question. Will you consider getting back into frontline politics? I think you have so much to offer in the leadership development of this country. I appreciate your saying so. I have no such thought on my mind. This text says, did we send the wrong Psalm to the U.S.? We need to send John. Nonsense. I have the greatest respect for John Roll. Greatest respect. Gentleman of immense integrity. Gentleman of immense aptitude and competence. Great respect for him. On this issue, I think there was a faux pas. You know, but I don't question John Roll's integrity at all. Nor do I question the government's integrity in this matter. Did they breach the law? Probably very much so. but you know, it's like, you know, the government has laws that says you have to make a report to Parliament on education, on this and that and the next thing. Sometimes the government don't do so. It says, to me, it appears that there was an abuse of the standing relationship between the government and the central bank. Also, if we are doing as well financially as is being touted, that was the purpose of the loan. What was the purpose of the loan? That's true. I think that's what I was. You found a more eloquent way to say it than me. You say it was an abuse of the standing relationship between the government and the central bank. That's a beautiful way to put it. They made liberal allowance for each other, right? And the question about what was the loan for, given that, you know, revenue was doing well, the economy is recovering well. Let me tell you something. Two things I'll tell you. I don't know a period in the last 20 years, in the last 18 years, where the government ain't been scrapped for cash. Let me say it again. I don't know a period in the last 18 years where the government ain't been scrapped for cash. What do I mean by that? I mean where the government didn't have a tight cash flow, where the Treasury of the Bahamas has been able to just relax and say, well, you know, cash is good, so we can make all our salary payments and all our lease payments and all our obligations for loans and all this kind of stuff. But I don't know a time in the last 18 years where that has been the case. So if you see the government can find an extra cash to have on hand, it will gladly try and find it wherever it can find it, because that'll free up it from some tightness. Okay, secondly, let me say to you, the more money the government gets, the more money the government spends. Oh, and why not? Because you, the citizens of the Bahamas, are constantly demanding more. And the government feels obliged to give you more. Well, you could only get more with cash. So the government gets whatever cash it can and moves on. So making a law retroactive to make something illegal now legal does not change the fact that what was done was not illegal at the time, and if it was punishable, they would have been punished. But that's a moot point. What's the point though? It wasn't, and quite frankly, you're wrong. You're wrong, because if the thing was punishable at the time, and the person wasn't punished at the time, and you pass a law. And that law can help that person avoid the punishment. And in fact, even if the person was punished at the time, let's say the person was given 10 years, you can pass a law that says that crime is no longer attracting a maximum penalty of 10 years, but only 5 years. And you could make it retro by active to that time. And that person could be let out of court, out of jail, on the basis of the fact that the law may have been changed. If the law specifically addresses the fact that such persons can have their sentence reduced. I don't think y'all are hearing me. The Parliament of the Bahamas is sovereign and powerful. Powerful. The only thing that checks Parliament is the Constitution. Parliament could go in your bedroom and tell you how to act, except where it is in breach of the Constitution. Doesn't Parliament tell you how you could get married now? Parliament. I won't get married tonight. I can't get married in the night. Parliament says you need a witness to get married. What about I can't just marry the person I want to marry? No, I'm no witness. Parliament of the Bahamas. Y'all stay right there. So, Mr. Lang, I am tired of persons breaking the law and no one is charged or fired. But a teenager found in a small amount of drugs is placed under the jail. I'm tired of government officials breaking the law, really. You know what? And that's one of the really serious issues right there with these kinds of things. This is really, really, you probably hit on the crux of the matter, is that where people feel that political leadership and state officials and the like can act with impunity against the law, and while others have to face consequences in the law, it undermines the entire system. So I fully understand your point there. Really, really understand it. Says the governor must resign. The police must act now. He was appointed to control our money. That's nonsense. Nonsense. First of all, the police doesn't get in matters in a matter unless it's a criminal matter. And the law never says that they're, first of all, if you read the law, it doesn't say that it's a crime. Secondly, the law doesn't say that it is punishable by a fine or sentence or anything of that nature. So don't call for things that the law does not call for, okay? So that doesn't even arise. It doesn't even arise. And I tried to say to you before, I think the person who texted just now points out the most salient point about all of this is that it undermines people's sense of fairness and justice in the society about keeping the law. I think that's the biggest challenge confronted in matters like this. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
You marched the car?
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me, marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It's the fourth day in January of 2023. Yeah.
Perfect flat.
You made it 4 days. Praise the Lord. I'm serious. Some people didn't, and that's unfortunate. If you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We do have some good news, you know, like... The United Emirates and the Bahamas has signed an agreement to joint promotion that would, that the hope is to increase travel from that region of the world. And I mean, there are some people that be traveling from that region of the world. If you're able to be successful, it could be people with some money and they ain't coming by cruise ship to spend a day. They'll be coming by airplane and then mean days and days and days. That's a good thing if it works out. So we wish the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Tourism and his team well in that producing some returns for us. I think that's a good region to nurture for both investment purposes and for travel purposes. And hopefully we can materialize some benefits and gains from that. Someone, one of my friends, good friends, hinted to me that maybe when they do their inaugural flight, you should be there in Dubai. I'm doing a show. Who knows? We'll see. This text says, I am not confident that we fully understand the amount of power we give parliamentarians when we elect them. I agree with that. This text says there are decisions that are made in the country that we hear about, but it really doesn't mean anything to us because generally the populace does not understand how governments work. So when they hear things like this and others, it doesn't have an impact. We lack knowledge and we mostly rely on politicians or party supporters to educate us. Yeah. This text says, yes, I was pleased to hear about the partnership. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the point of the shows, and the way I try to do them is to provide some understanding of how things work so that as the issue evolves, you can understand it with a little bit more clarity. And I mean, that's really the end game. But I agree 100% in too many instances, because you're not aware of how things work, you can't really appreciate what's the issue, you know? And let me say this for some of you, right? I mean, I know that it's easy for us to think of life in black and white terms or very simple terms, but every issue ain't that simple, right? Not always so black and white. I mean, I can't stop you from seeing it that way, but some things are a little bit more nuanced than you take it to be. And so it's not just a matter of you broke the law and you should go to jail. I mean, come on. I mean, that is, it's really not like that. You know, first of all, you got to understand the law. You don't go to jail for things the law does not itself say. It's a jailable offense. So if the law doesn't say, think about that for a moment. If the law doesn't say it's a jailable offense, hey, how is it jailable? Because that's what the law does. What laws do is, first, a law draws a line about the limits of your conduct. That's the first thing the law does. The law enables you to know what the boundaries of your behavior are. Okay, so the law lets you know, what are the boundaries? How far can I move? How much can I say? How much can I do? And the law says, yes, you can go this far, but no further. Then the law tells you what will happen if you cross the boundary. And in some instances, it says nothing. There are laws that says don't do this and don't say nothing else. Don't say anything else. Don't do this. And then there are laws that say, like I'll give you an example of one, like laws that ask for reports from a ministry. It says a report shall be tabled before parliament, bam, 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 bam. And after that, don't say nothing else. Then there are laws that say, if you cross this boundary and are convicted, you're subject only to a fine. That's it. A fine. You pay a fine. And you pay a fine. And the Business License Act is like that. You pay a fine and you pay X amount every day until you get your license renewed. Right? Then there's the law says, if you cross this boundary, you can be subject to a fine or imprisonment or both. So if the law doesn't tell you you're subject to some penalty, then there's no penalty to be had other than you now know you are doing contrary to law. And it's supposed to help curb behavior, curb activity, because you know you're not supposed to do it. So every time you hear, oh, they break the law, don't stop thinking, oh, you're going to jail, you should go to jail, or it's like you murdered somebody, or it's like you, there's nonsense. It's not true. And I'm not saying that because that's the way I want it. I'm saying that because that's the way the law is. The law's written that way. And it's not just true in the Bahamas. It happens all around the world. All around the world. Right now, there are things called international law. International laws. In international law, you shouldn't go into another person's territory or cede territory without permission. But if you go, what's the penalty? What's the fine? Hey, ain't no penalty or no fine. Now, if you do it to the wrong people, they might put their military on you, but there's no prescription for it. This text is seriously not being biased. You do a good job of explaining. It is one of the reasons I tune in. I appreciate that. I try and keep trying. Says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I truly appreciate how you educate and inform us on our constitution and the laws of the country. Thank you so much. You're very welcome. Very welcome. I'm trying to help. It's important, you know, it's really, really important for us to know and to take some time where we can too to do some of that reading ourselves. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Is there a law that allowed money to be paid from the public treasury for the PLP's trip to Bermuda? Also, who in the public service has had power to authorize such a payment? I dealt with this before. I don't know of a law that permits the treasury to make payment for a trip known in advance to be partisan political. I don't know of a law, but I don't know of any law that prohibits it. I don't know that there's a law that says if the government says it's going on a political trip and that it wants to the prime minister is going on the trip and it wants the government to pay for that trip and then the political party would reimburse the government. I don't know of a law that says that that can't happen. I do know that on the basis that at certain levels of the civil service, you cannot be involved in partisan politics, overtly involved in partisan politics. If the rules are such that that can't happen, how can it be possible to fund a partisan political event? I guarantee you that there isn't a day on planet Earth, not one single day on planet Earth, if the PLP discovered an FNM using government funds while the FNM is in office to do partisan political things, that it wouldn't raise every piece of hell on planet Earth. I guarantee you that if the FNM discovered that the PLP was using government funds for partisan purpose, that it wouldn't raise every piece of hell on planet Earth in response thereto. I guarantee you, if you took government money for office allowance and you started using that for political paraphernalia and power for this and the next thing, I can't imagine that all hell wouldn't break loose in terms of commentary on the matter. But ain't nobody going to jail because, ain't no law against it. Ain't nobody can get fined because ain't nobody law against it. Only thing people do is get shamed and possibly at election time get voted out. Oh, boy. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. I'll up if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Babe, you marched the car?
I marched the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. the Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crock Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Howard Grant right here on the only station in the nation, 96.9 FM Radio. So happy to be in your company with a new thing, The Foundation. Every weekday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. We want you to be a part of the conversation, be engaging, be a part of national growth and development. We want to hear from you right here on 96.9, The Foundation.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
I'm not afraid. Stand, take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So glad you could join us. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. This is very powerful. Thank you for the info. You're quite welcome. Quite welcome. This texter says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Happy New Year. Blessings to you and your family. I am an avid listener, appreciate your candor and sharing your knowledge and experience to answer the tough questions and analyze matters to spread truth in a time when fake news sometimes prevail. I am a mighty hawk from Freeport. You don't have to read them. You got to tell like you about your hawk, man. Yes, hallelujah, bless the Lord. Thank you. Appreciate it. Listen. Let me change gears a little bit here for y'all, right? Little bit. Now, I'm a Laker fan. I am a Laker fan. And we are not doing well. We have not been doing well for a little while. We weren't doing well when Kobe Bryant was still alive in his last season. We still ain't doing well. All right? So I'm not trying to brag on the Lakers at all. We've been getting mashed up. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing the way the Lakers... the Lakers are playing given the talent on that team. Now, I think it's old talent, but it's talented team nonetheless. And, Anthony Davis, to me, I believe Anthony Davis is bar none one of the best basketball players on planet Earth. But Anthony Davis can't stay healthy to save his own life. So that's been a problem. But let me tell y'all something. I've been watching LeBron James play. Listen to me, that young man, first of all, not that young man, that guy been in the league for 20 years, this fella's almost 40 years old, and LeBron James is playing like a monster. He really is an example of, if you want to perform at a certain level consistently over time, you got to make the investment in that kind of physical
development and maintenance and what have you, because that brother is playing like he's 20 years old. Don't hate on him. I mean, like, I don't, like, I have never rated LeBron James like I rate Kobe Bryant, not because he doesn't have the physical basketball talent, but because I just felt like Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan and those have a different level of hatred of losing and love of winning than LeBron does. I believe LeBron loves to win, and I believe he hates to lose, but I never got the impression that he really took it to heart in the way those guys did. But I suspect that he's starting to do so, and I don't believe they can make the playoffs. But boy, the man is carrying on like a beast. He impresses me. I'm really, and you know, as a person and as a talent, you know, I really commend that black man for the way he's conducted himself. I really do. I'm impressed with him as an athlete and as a person. And, you know, but I've been watching him play lately. And, man, I'm telling you, I just been impressed. And I don't watch the games now because I ain't staying up. First of all, when the Lakers were winning, I would stay up and watch those games late. But I did that with much resistance. You think I can stay up and watch the Lakers play now and they will lose it all the time? So I catch what I catch on YouTube. I catch what I catch on ESPN. This text is great show as usual. Anthony Davis is a human glass. Also, I'm not a LeBron fan, but the young old man is jamming, but he far from being the GOAT. Long live legendary number 23, MJ. Yeah, I don't describe him as the GOAT either. So Michael Jordan is the GOAT. Lakers playing tonight. Yeah. I won't be watching them. I'll hear where they lose. And I'll watch the reruns on YouTube. How I define the GOAT, this don't get mad with me. This me, Chivago Sean Knight. This is how I define the GOAT of all time. I ask myself the question. If my life was on the line, if my family's life was on the line, and I had to have but one shot to save their lives or mine, who would I call on of all times to make that shot in the NBA now? Don't some of you, I know you're going, oh, Jesus. I call on Jesus. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as a basketball player now. For me to get the shot now, need a shot. For me, that'd be Michael Jordan. And then that'd be Kobe Bryant. And then that'll be Larry Bird. And then that would be Magic Johnson, and then that would be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then that would be for me Will Chamberlain. That's how I do it to save my life. Now, why wouldn't I do Shaq? Because if you foul Shaq, I'm dead. My family are dead. If you foul any of them guys, other than Will Chamberlain, that's why he's so low. Other than Will, you can save some lives. say, oh, you don't rate Jordan, laugh out loud. What you mean I don't rate Jordan? You ain't hear what I say? I say if I needed my life saved and I needed a shot, I'm going to call Michael Jordan. He's the first person I'm going to call. Then I'm going to call Kobe Bryant. Then I'm going to call Larry Bird. Then I'm going to call Magic Johnson. And then I'm going to call Will Chamberlain. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and then Will Chamberlain. So, Mr. Lang, you don't even have to complete the sentence, MJ number 20. Yeah. See, for me, where you go with Michael Jordan and with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird, listen to me. Them dudes so hate losing. They will do anything it takes on a basketball court to get a winning shot. And they ain't scared to take that shot. They ain't scared to do the necessary. They ain't gonna hesitate. Listen, win, lose, or draw, they can take that game into their hands and bam, but however it break, that's why I would choose any one of them. Those are the GOATs to me. Those are the GOATs. Like LeBron would get in there at some point, but not as high up as them gentlemen for me. Not really. Even Charles Barkley, I would rate up there. Charles Barkley, I would put up there. This text says, win or lose, you have to watch your team to play, man. First of all, if my team is playing on the West Coast often, and I have to sit up 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock for the game to start, you ain't talking to me. Say, I don't have an NBA team, but I always watch the Patriots game, and I always get in my feelings. You joking? You talking about them Dolphin fans, eh? I always tell people the Dolphins, and my mommy is a Dolphin fan, so don't get mad with me. I always tell people that the Dolphins is God's team. Why? Because God put the Dolphins on the planet to teach Bahamians patience. Because I don't know no team is start off the year with the most enthusiasm or planet, right? End the year with the most break attitudes. Say, I'm calling Robert Horry. He never missed clutch time. Oh, Robert is a good clutch time shooter for sure. Robert is a good, but you got to get Robert the ball though. See, that's the difference. You got to get Robert the ball to get that clutch. Steph, oh yeah, I would rate Steph up there. I would rate, like, to, yeah. You know what? Yeah. That last minute, that shot, yeah. From anywhere on the court, yeah. Steph can be up there now. Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. Even Buddy Hield. But not the greatest of all time. The reason why Steph wouldn't be the greatest of all time for me is, remember, I said this over time, right? And but Steph, you, listen, man, I ain't gonna argue with nobody. If somebody want to call Steph the GOAT, I ain't gonna argue with them. I wouldn't do it, but I ain't gonna argue with them. Why are you laughing at me, man? Say, why are you mashing Mark on with Dolphins talk? Yeah, because Mark and my mommy in the same boat. Same boat. Forever pressing against hope with the Dolphins. And the only thing they can say to you, the only comeback a Dolphin fan has to say to you when you talk to them about them is, yeah, but we have a perfect season. Man, see what that perfect season do for you last season, the season before that, the season before that, the season before that, up until 1977. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I trust and hope that you have a wonderful evening. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.